speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
On one occasion, Jesus was teaching, and many of the people believed on him, but yet it was a belief that was not founded upon facts. They didn't believe in it, that he was the Son of God. They just were impressed by his teaching. And I'm looking at John 7, verse 32, where the Pharisees heard the people and they murmured such things concerning him. Well, Jesus said, "Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come." Well, they began to discuss among themselves, really, what's he talking about? And then in verse 40, after some further teaching that Christ did in the synagogue or in the temple on this occasion, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." Some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Then here's the verse we're zeroing in. "So there was a division among the people because of him." We noted yesterday as we were thinking about those last three words of John 7:43, "because of him," that because of him, because of Christ, sinners can have pardon from their sin. And indeed, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're alienated from God until we are brought back into a right relationship through Christ, and we can be in a right relationship with God. So because of him, sinners can have pardon. We notice also that because of him, sheep can have a shepherd. All we like sheep have gone astray. And Christ says in John 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And then the third point we noticed was that because of him, the church came into existence. He said in Matthew 16, verse 18, that "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." In the same context, he said to the apostles, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And when, through the prophets, God indicated that in the last days, the kingdom would be established in Jerusalem, he was talking about none other than the church of Christ, that Christ said, "I'm going to build it." It's going to be called a church. It's also referred to as the kingdom. We read of people being delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1, verse 13. So the church is the kingdom, and because of him, the church came into existence. And because of him, the church has one head. Jesus is the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And he's the one head. Well, going to our text for another point today. So there was a division among the people because of him. Well, because of him, some people are offended. As the people in Palestine listened to the teachings and listened to the claims of Christ, there were all kinds of reactions. Remember, some said, "This is the Christ." Some said, "Will Christ come out of Galilee?" So John reports on these various views, and then he ends with this statement, "So there was a division among the people because of him." You see, Jesus was not like the scribes and the Pharisees and was not what they had expected. His style of teaching, his integrity, stood far above the popular Gentile philosophers. He stood for something. He spoke with authority. He made claims which were verified by his signs and by his miracles and wonders. And so there was a division among the people because of him. He didn't intend for there to be divisions, but because the people had their preconceived ideas of what he should be, they were offended. Several times, this is what we're told. In Matthew 13, verse 57, we're told very plainly, they were offended at him. Verse 12, 13, and 14, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That Matthew 15, verse 12 through verse 14, through verse 13. Now that word offended means to stumble or to fall, or to cause to stumble or to cause to fall. And that suggests some of the things that the Jews heard Jesus say were regarded by them as scandalous. They didn't appreciate it. They didn't accept it. So they stumbled and they fell. And in some cases today, there are people who find the teachings of Christ to be hard sayings, and they're not willing to accept what he teaches. For example, look at public opinion regarding the teachings of Christ about sin. Well, that's just trying to keep me from having a good time. Or, I'm free, I'm independent, I'm going to live my own life, I'm not going to be hindered by anyone. Or look at what Christ said about obedience. Hebrews 5, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. In being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey him. And yet popular opinion says, just accept Christ into your heart, as long as you believe on him, even if it's your dying breath, and you call out for mercy, then that's all that's needed. And yet Christ says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 7, verse 23. Or as he asked in Luke 6, verse 46, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Public opinion is against the truth of Christ regarding sin. Public opinion is against the truth of Christ regarding what he said in the obedience. And public opinion is against the truth of Christ when he speaks about eternal punishment. As one popular talk show host of a few years ago said, Oh, shucks, folks, there's no place like heaven. You're not going to be punished forever. Surely you don't believe in eternal torment just because one's done a few bad deeds. Hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And unless we're walking in the way that's straight and narrow, trusting in the grace of God, walking in the grace of the Lord in obedience to his will, we're going to have a sad awakening one day. And we look at some other subjects, and we find that public opinion is against the truth that Christ said regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. You look at his teachings that are so plain in Matthew 19, verse 9. He that putteth away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marrieth another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. And yet public opinion is against the truth of Christ. Many are offended. They stumble. They hear what Jesus taught. But that hearing doesn't lead to conviction that would cause them to turn away from their sins and be obedient to the gospel of Christ. And through their being offended, they reject what he says. They're offended. And so what kind of preaching becomes popular? Preaching that's built upon compromise. Preaching that favors what people want to hear. Preaching that's materialistic and virtually atheistic. Preaching not the word of God, but the words, the creeds, the theories of men, and tickling ears and giving people what they want to hear. Matthew 11:6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So because of him, some people were offended. Again, using those three words in John 7:43, because of him, we can know what love means. Is there any more abused word in the English language than the little four-letter word love? Here's a word in our vocabulary that can refer to loving people, loving pets, loving paintings, loving pickles, and everything in between. Even if we restricted its use to people, love can mean a number of things. There's parental love, There's romantic love. There's a special friendship love. There's sexual love. And so it becomes obvious that we need some conclusive teaching on that word love. And before we ever get into a context or a specific use of the word, we need some guidance. And Jesus affords us just that information, and the Holy Spirit gives it through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not seek its own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endureth all things. And I need to not only understand the word love, but I need to demonstrate it in my life. And John said it in 1 John 3, verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then another application of because of Him. Because of Him, Christ, we can live with a high standard. Everybody's living by some standard. Some are living by the standard that might makes right. Some are living by the selfish standard that if it feels good, do it. So everybody operates on some standard, some sort of a behavior code. Some follow the philosophers, but listen to Christ. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." This might be described as real obedience, loving God, honoring Christ, living obedience to the teachings of Christ. And this is a standard that will grant us the best life here. And then because of Him, we can go to heaven. Because of Him. Would you obey the gospel because of His teachings? Obey His will that one day heaven might be your home? For today my time is gone. I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.